13. He was in his office late the next afternoon, having had no success across the day, contacting Lawton or Singer or Barone, when Suit walked in, grinning.
"There's an SOB here to see you," he said.
"Not the first time," Jesse said. "Certainly won't be the last."
"I mean one of the tree huggers," Suit said. "She's pretty upset. Says her boyfriend has disappeared."
"Who's her boyfriend?"
"The head hugger."
The young woman's name was Blair Richmond. She was tall and blonde and could have been a younger sister to Jesse's ex-wife, Jen. Her boyfriend's name was Ben Gage, whom she said had founded SOB when Thomas Lawton put the land up for sale. Blair Richmond said she'd spent the past few days visiting an old friend in Providence. Jesse asked if she had any family. She said no, that she was an only child and both her parents had passed. She said Ben was her family now, but that when she got back to the house in Paradise she shared with him, in a section of town near the Marshport line known as the Lost District, it had been searched, top to bottom.
"Do you have any idea what might have been taken?" Jesse said. "Or anything Ben might have been hiding?"
She shook her head.
"I wouldn't even know where to begin," she said. "Everything was everywhere."
"And you have no idea where Ben is," Jesse said.
"He could be anywhere," she said.
He sat behind his desk. She paced, her nervous energy almost having built to being kinetic. She had tattoos up and down both bare arms. Ear piercings, a nose ring. Maybe Ben Gage thought it made her more beautiful and made him start to yearn for exclusivity. Jesse knew it was generational, not understanding tats or the piercings. Just more things on the list of things he didn't understand about people her age, like preferring text messaging to actual conversation. Jesse said, "Do you and Ben work together?"
"I work with him and believe in him," she said.
"Have you actually helped him dig the graves?" Her eyes narrowed.
"Are you going to arrest me if I tell you that I have?"
"No."
"Sometimes," she said. "My dad was a mason. I made most of the headstones, even the ones we have stored because we haven't used them yet."
"In what way?"
"Mr. Lawton has security now," she said. "Not all the time, sometimes. Last week, Ben and I had just finished putting a headstone in place when a man pulled up on the access road in some kind of jeep. He was too far away for me to get a good look at him, but Ben and I took off when he started running in our direction."
"You did get away, though."
"We had a good head start and made our way down through the bluffs to the beach," she said. "I told Ben that should be our last grave. He said maybe I was right. He was worried that he was being followed lately."
She stopped in front of his desk.
"You don't think we're criminals?"
He smiled. "I sometimes get the urge to grab a shovel and head over there with you," Jesse said. "And if you repeat that, I will arrest you." She sat down now.
"When was the last time you actually did hear from him?" Jesse said. "He called me the night Mr. O'Hara died," she said. "For like a minute, maybe less. I'd just gotten to my friend's house. He was using another burner phone, which was all he'd been using lately. Said he didn't have much time. I asked what was going on. He said, a lot. He said he'd come up with something that was going to change everything for him and Mr. O'Hara. I asked what. He said he didn't have enough time to tell me everything he needed to tell me on the phone, and he was worried that somebody might be listening. I love him so much, but sometimes he acts as if we're in some kind of spy movie."
"That was it?"
"That's what he told me, pretty much word for word," she said. "But like I just told you, it was pretty rushed."
"He hasn't tried to reach out since?"
"That's what scares me, Mr. Stone," she said. "If whatever he came up with was so important, I keep thinking he would have reached back out to me, unless something bad has happened to him. The other kids in SOB haven't heard from him either. I asked if he'd told any of them anything. He hadn't. Even though we all helped out, SOB was really Ben in the end. We all got caught up in it because of him. But it was Ben who was the true believer. He was obsessed with doing whatever he had to do to stop this deal from going through. She reached into the bag lying next to her chair and pulled out one of those vape pens and sucked on it like it was a pacifier. One more thing to add to the list of things he didn't understand, to go with the tats and piercings, Jesse thought. Ben hated that I used this, she said. It was like he was out of another time. He just loves nature so much. He even likes being called a tree hugger. He wondered what the people calling him that would say if they knew he'd built this cool treehouse in the backyard, the one in front of their wishing tree. We sit up there at night sometimes and dream about our kids sitting up in it someday. Jesse thought she might cry. There's such a sweetness about him, as much as he tries to come across as a tough guy, she said. He used to leave love letters for me and just wait for me to find them. Bring her back, Jesse told himself. Is there anything else you can remember that he said that night, he said. He could be dead, Blair said. Maybe he's just hiding out until he thinks it's safe to come back, Jesse said. Maybe he really was being followed. He tries to act as if he's not afraid of them, she said. But he sounded so geeked the night he called. Them, meaning Singer and Barone? All of them, she said. Mr. Lawton ran into Ben in town last week after we got chased and told him that if we didn't stop trespassing, he'd be sorry. Said that next time his guys would catch us. He said that? Word for word, she said. He's no better than the other two, if you ask me. She stared at the vape pen and sadly shook her head. No blue light, she said. Means it's empty. Good to know, Jesse said. Ben should have called by now. He told her he would send a couple of his people over to her house to check it for evidence, and then lock it down until further notice. He asked if there was someone with whom she could stay for a couple days. She said there was another couple in the group who could take her in. Sam and Diane Burroughs. They lived over in Marshport. This is all because of what happened to Mr. O'Hara, isn't it? She said. It seems to be what we call a precipitating event, Jesse said. Ben really liked him, Mr. O'Hara. He never came out and said it in public, but Ben felt he was with us 100%. Ben didn't trust the police anymore, all due respect, because of everything that's been happening in the country. But he did trust Mr. O'Hara. Jesse told her to contact him immediately if she heard from Ben. She said she would. You have to find him, she said to Jesse. Please, find him, she said. Jesse asked if she had a car. She said she'd walked here from their house. Jesse said he could have someone drive her back there. She said she wanted to walk, that she used long walks to meditate sometimes. Hey, I forgot one thing, Blair said after Jesse had walked her through the front room. Someone else came by the house a few days ago, before Ben disappeared, wanting to talk to him. Jesse waited. He was this kind of scary Native American man, she said.